Hello, everybody. It is morning. Good call. I forgot about that. I'm not used to that. Well, welcome to the Feast of Trumpets. You know, throughout the years, I would say that perhaps the most talked about part of God's master plan would be the return of Jesus Christ. I can't think of any other subject within this world that can provide that level of hope to a true believer. There just doesn't seem to be anything. Now, I understand that we have, certainly, of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the days of unleavened bread and the feast of the first fruits that precede this, but you know what? Those all lead up and funnel through this very exciting event that we're here to talk about today. The fact is that there are many verses that talk about the return of Jesus Christ, and they all teach us to look toward that moment with great hope within our future. Let me read to you a couple verses. You don't have to turn there, but John 14, verse 3, Christ says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you will be also." This verse happens to be one of my favorite verses because it really talks about and shows a very personal and intimate moment between Jesus Christ and ourselves. He's not sending down a search party. He's not sending down a board of directors to take care of business. Jesus Christ came down personally the first time, and he's going to come back personally the second time. And just knowing that makes me want to draw closer to him. We also know that the return of Jesus Christ is going to be a glorious event. Luke 21, verse 27 says, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and with great glory. It will also be a time when the whole world will finally know the truth and see the King of Glory firsthand." Now, I chose these two verses to create in us really an excitement of things to come. But listen, no matter how much we might rejoice in the thought of Jesus Christ returning, the fact is that for some, the return of Jesus Christ is going to be a time of trouble. God's people have been preaching about Jesus' return for a few thousand years now, and some people in the world deny that he's going to return. Some people doubt it, others dismiss it, some debate it, but none of that takes away from the fact that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. In Matthew 24, Christ talks about and compares his return to the days of Noah. He was explaining that Noah had been warning people for years as well, to no avail. And Jesus said that right up until the flood, they were eating and they were drinking and they were marrying and giving into marriage. In other words, they went on with life as if nothing was wrong. You know, they pretty much said, "Noah, we're tired of your doom and gloom message. Everything seems fine. Life is good." But when the flood came, their reality quickly changed. It was too late. They'd been given a chance, and when God shuts the door shuts. Why is the return of Jesus Christ going to be troubling? Well, because there are people who turned away from God, people who refused to, if you will, get back in the ark. You see, there's another flood coming, isn't there? It's not a flood involving water, but it will be a judgment of God. It's going to be troubling because when Christ returns, there's not going to be another chance. The door of the ark is going to be shut. And this, as we know, is really our day of salvation. When Christ returns, only one thing awaits for those who refuse to obey, who turn their back on God, and that is vengeance and the wrath of God. And when he returns, it's going to be one of two things for us in this room as well. It's either going to be a day of rejoicing, a glorious event, or it's going to be a troubling event for us. Now, when I hear statements like that, it quickly gets me to think, what is Jesus Christ going to see in me when he returns? What will he find? Will he be pleased with my character? Will he be pleased with my faith? Will he be able to see himself in me at all? Those are good questions. But there's another question that's equally important, and that is, what does he see in me right now? What does he see in you right now? There's a gap of time between those two questions, isn't there? What will he see in me then, and what does he see in me now? We don't know how long that gap is. And during this gap of time, we can either overcome and become better Christians, or we can fail in our spiritual lives. So in the remainder of this sermonette, let's look at how we can be sure that we are using this gap of time wisely, so that when Christ returns, it won't be a troubling time for us, but instead a time of rejoicing. There's a saying that says, knowing your destination is half the journey. I've always liked that saying. Knowing your destination is half the journey. What this is telling us is that where we want to go is not based on where we're standing, as much as the direction in which we're moving. Our destination is the kingdom of God. The direction in which we're going, I feel, is really based on how well we understand two words, the word view and the word vision. View and vision. Your view is what you're seeing in front of you at this very moment. Your vision is what you see happening in the future. So you can look at an empty lot of land, and you see, that's your view. But your vision can be this house that's going to be built there. And you can picture where your mailbox is going to be, where your front gate and your fence is going to be, your front door, the trees and shrubs. That's your vision. Why is it important to have vision beyond view? Well, let's go to Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. I'm going to read from the King James Version. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I've also heard this said, where there is no vision, there is no hope, which I really like, because without hope, we have no way of believing in our vision. Our vision is of a future. It's of something that's not seen. And then the verse goes on to say, but he who keeps the law, happy is he. We keep the law, brethren, because we have hope in our future. Without that vision, what would be the point? What would be the point? When we look at the world around us, we see a lot of things. We see the beautiful creation that God has made around us, but we also see poverty and war and hunger and disease. And we realize at times that the view is not all that great. Those negative things that are in our view can distract us. They can cause us to lose the bigger picture, our vision. And we can't allow that to happen because, brethren, it's our vision that is going to strengthen our journey. That's what hope does for us as well, is it strengthens us. It keeps us moving forward. Our vision shows us that a future is not where we are, but it's where we will be. Let's go to Deuteronomy 34, and let's take a good look at this. A good example of this, anyhow. Deuteronomy chapter 34. And we'll read verse 1. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. So he's looking down from this mountain, and he's looking at all the promised land. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. Here God has allowed Moses to see a fulfillment of a promise. A fulfillment of a promise, but the leader who helped so many in order to make this moment possible is not going to be able to enter. In fact, he gets one of the biggest butts. Well, that sounds like a joke. He gets one of the biggest butts in the Bible. God says, you can see it, but you cannot have it. You cannot have it. Moses had a breathtaking view before him, and that view allowed him to realize that this is where he was going to die, but his vision allowed him to know that there was much more to come. Do we ever look around and have the vision that there's more to come? Or do we become settled in our surroundings of our everyday lives? Do we wake up thinking only about the day that's before us? Or do we ever stop and think that one day we're going to be past all of this? We're going to be citizens in the kingdom of God. We tend to feel sorry for Moses in this story, but notice what it says in verse 7. It says that his sight was not dimmed, nor was his vigor failed. Moses knew that there was more than just the view to his future. We can find ourselves struggling and trying to conquer our own Mount Pisgah at times, and sometimes the view isn't really what it's all cracked up to be. Our view may be of things that we struggle with. Our view may be things that we may never attain or denied opportunities in life. That might be what we're looking at. The danger is that if we don't ever see past our view, we're going to lose our ability to see ourselves in a future. We can't allow limits of this world to affect or limit our vision of our future. Our view is going to continue to change every day. For Moses, his view changed every day of his life. But we can't allow our vision to change. That needs to be solid. The kingdom of God does not change. Moses understood that it is the future where God sets his promise, and it is where our heart should be as well. Moses understood that it wasn't the view along the journey, but it was actually the journey itself that brought him closer to his vision. The view from Mount Pisgah reminds us that what you see is not necessarily what you get. It certainly was true for Moses, but brethren, what you get is an opportunity to see something better, to see something bigger, to see a future that's described in Revelation as eye had not seen nor ear heard the things prepared for them that love God. Even Moses wasn't going to see the results of his labor, but he still believed absolutely that it was going to happen, without a doubt. The reason why the death of Moses was not an unfair act of God is because the justice of God is not that we are allowed to complete what we've begun, but rather through his grace, we are allowed to participate in what he's begun. What an honor that is for all of us to be participants in something so big and so wonderful. Can you envision yourself in that future? You know, I've heard stories about people in prison that will practice free throws without a basketball or their golf swing over and over again, and when they get released from prison, somehow they're better at those things. The point is that we can strengthen our vision by envisioning ourselves in the future where there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and every tear will be wiped away, and there shall be an end to death, an end to suffering, an end to pain. I understand that it's easy for a person to either be encouraged or terrified by the view around them just by watching the news. You can go either way with that. But it takes a lot more for a person to see the things that must occur within this present age while living in the middle of it and be sustained by the vision of their future. That's a converted individual to be able to see that far with that's good vision. When we attend holy days like today and the upcoming fall festivals, do we already see the vision of things to come, or do we have to be reminded of it every single year? That vision of personally meeting Jesus Christ and making sure it's a glorious event rather than a troubling one should have already been alive in our hearts before we got here today. Was it? The vision of being part of a future kingdom should already be in our hearts before we even leave for our feast destinations. Is it? You know, Moses saw with his own eyes the fulfillment of God's promise. And we have God's promise of a future kingdom. And that knowledge allows us to have really a type of peace that this world cannot give us. And this world can't take from us either. Yes, we do need a clear view of our goal, which is the kingdom of God, but we also need a vision of what it's going to be like when we get there. Our interest should be in our future because, brethren, that's where all of us are going to spend the rest of our lives.